Do. All right. All right. So before. And just let it work its way to the back of your heart. I did a clever thing there. All right. So can one of you guys man the computer for just a little bit? Because I got a couple of scripture things that we're going to get into. You don't need to do it right now. Like, just once I get rolling. It's already there. Like, and I broke it up on the three slides that I need. Try to be prepared. It's true. Have my justice deliciously squared. That's so terrible. Why would anybody do that? I know. All right. The Be Prepared song from The Lion King. Like, it not only is it one of the best songs in the movie, like, it really is one of the best just Disney songs ever. It's fantastic. All right. So let's see. So we got, I got three things I want to talk about tonight. Number one, we're going to talk about manifestation gifts, just sort of give the segue from motivational, what we've been talking about, into this new group of stuff that Rachel's dad was so awesome to kind of bring a few weeks ago. And then I'm going to be talking about words of wisdom and words of knowledge, because they're the first two that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians. So it's cool. All right. So does anybody remember anything about the motivational gifts? We're going to kind of do like a summative assessment real quick. Recap, yeah, you know. Does anybody remember anything about the motivational gifts that we talked about? Hopefully. Jason, tell me something good. Okay, prophecies on the list. I'm glad you remember that. Thank you. Right. Gotcha. Right. So, yeah, so motivational gifts are sort of like the baseline. So the reason we call them motivational gifts is because, like, it's the motivation for why you do what you do. Fairly straightforward. Good word. English is good about that. We got a lot of words for stuff. Right. So that's sort of like the motivation is like where, or like in what capacity does God want you to serve? Like, again, it's sort of like the baseline. It's like, again, it's the why do you do? Like, what has God sort of put on your heart? And we broke those down in Romans 12. So then we're moving into the next set of gifts, which we find in 1 Corinthians 12. And so these are the manifestation gifts. And again, I talked a little bit about those last time. The big difference between the first set in Romans 12 and the set that we're going to talk about over a little bit and that I'm going to kind of talk about tonight is, so the motivation is the why we do. The manifestation is the how we do part. And that's really the big difference. So the kind of the neat thing about the manifestation gifts is these are the ones that people tend to know more about because it's really difficult to discern someone's motivation when you're not them. You know, it's like you can observe their actions and you can do, I mean, like, even, like, the best, you know, most people-minded people still don't really understand, like, people's motivations to do everything. Like, and a lot of times, too, like, as individuals, we don't even understand all of the reasons why we do the things that we do. So motivations are a little bit harder to pin down. Manifestations, on the other hand, those are easy. It's just like, boom, you did a thing. I saw the thing. You know, it's like we have metrics to measure them. You know, they're very easy to separate out from each other. It's sort of like, oh, you did that. Well, that's this. You know, it's like, oh, you said that thing. Well, that's a word of knowledge. Like, it's really easy to pull those out because, again, the manifestation is something that we can see, we can observe, we can measure. It happens over and over again. And they exhibit themselves similarly from person to person. So we're going to be talking about those over the next little bit, and they're going to come out of 1 Corinthians 12. So I'm going to start in verse 1, and we're actually going to go all the way down to 11. So if you guys want to, like, open up your Bible apps or turn into your acoustic Bibles to, yeah, if you want to open up your acoustic Bible to 1 Corinthians 12, and Alberto is going to be kind enough to project it into the back for me. And we're going to look at this in three separate parts. So we're starting out with this right here. We're going to go through the whole thing, and then I'm going to come back and kind of break it down because that's what I do. And I'm reading out of King James. So if you don't have King James Bible, just go ahead and sit next to the nearest Christian, and they'll have one for you. Just got all the jokes today. All right, so now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I have given you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Sound good? Okay. So, like I said, we're going to take a look at this into three sections. So, Alberto, if you could pop up the 1-3 verse for me, it should be the first slide up there. Bam. Okay. So, me being me, I want to know why. So, it's like, well, why do we have the gifts? It's like, so, the, you know, we talked about the motivations already. So, for the manifestations, it's like, well, if we've already been, you know, like, indwelt with the Holy Spirit and, like, we have a purpose, then, like, why does it matter how we express it? Right? Shouldn't matter. But it does. And because if it didn't, this section wouldn't be in Scripture. And Paul wouldn't have taken the time to, in the middle of actually a fairly long and deep letter to the Corinthians, put this basically like slap bang in the middle. So if we look at verse 1, we see basically the why that's in there. So Paul says, like, you know, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you guys to be ignorant. So clearly, this is something that he thinks is important, you know, because, again, if spiritual gifts weren't important, he wouldn't have put it in there, and he also wouldn't have mentioned that I don't want you to be ignorant. So there's something that you need to be educated on, because, and that's sort of the beauty of that word ignorant. Like, there's a difference between, like, ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance just means you don't know. Stupidity is, like, a different thing. And so what he's telling them is, like, I want to make sure that you guys understand this thing that is very, very important that I'm about to talk to you about. And, like, just having the knowledge in and of itself, though, isn't sufficient enough. And he continues into the verses, again, because, like, if knowledge were the end of itself, then that's all he would have to say. But he didn't. He continues into verse 2. So I knew that you were Gentiles. You know that you're Gentiles, that you were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So we look at the reason behind him saying that, like, just simply knowing them isn't enough. Like, you need to be educated on these things. You need to experience these kind of things. You need to be pulled out of your ignorance because it's, so, like, let's look at Judaism versus, I don't know, what the Greek pantheon. I don't know what you, Greekism? I don't know what you call it. Something. So, like, so when Paul's talking to the Jews, he doesn't really have to worry about the idea of, like, polytheism. Because, like, the Jews have had one God for a very, very long time. They understand polytheism because, like, they live in a world and have lived in a world for thousands of years where, like, other cultures worship multiple gods. But for them, like, they don't have the same, like, intimate understanding of polytheism that other cultures have. And the Greeks that he's talking to right now, the Gentiles, that's why it says Gentiles, they, polytheistic. The idea of one God is very, very foreign to them. Like, the idea of gods, fine. We can understand that there's, like, a supernatural thing out there. But we can't just get a grip on the fact that there's only one. You know, it's like, I understand that there are multiple gods, but none of them have sufficient and enough power to, like, rule the entire universe. Sure, they can be superpowered and rule over and govern, like, individual things, but the idea of, like, one God in control of everything, that's mind-blowing. Like, that's a new thing for the Gentiles that we're talking about. And so he brings this up because it is the nature of people when they are confused, when they are in distress, when they are, you know, hurting, when they're in pain, to default to what they know. And so Paul is saying it's important that you guys understand these manifestations because you're going to experience them. And if you don't understand what they are, how they work, and what they mean, you will go back to your default, which is not God. So again, this isn't just a, hey, let's understand what they are for the sake of whatever. We understand how these work because these are going to be supernatural manifestations of like the God living in you. And if you don't have a grid for it, then you're going to stop believing in God. Like, that's basically where he's going with this. Again, because like I said, like, it's the nature of people to just default to what they know. So if you don't understand this part, then you're just going to, oh, whatever, you know. And after a while, you kind of fall off of it. So secondly, we're going to look at the gifts individually. And that's over a while. But, like, why are they there? You know, so again, aside from the fact that, like, you know, they're there as evidence of what's happening, like, in the supernatural, sort of in our lives, you know, Paul makes a mention to say, like, these aren't for our own benefit. And he said this before, and, like, granted, we have the benefit of looking at Scripture, like, as an entire thing. The Corinthians hadn't read the letter that he wrote to the Romans, so they didn't know what he said to the Romans about spiritual gifts. So he's kind of repeating himself because it's like, hey, we're tackling a similar topic. I need to give you guys some of the same warnings. Like, these aren't here for you guys just to build yourselves up and say, well, this dude's got prophecy, so, like, he's going to be the top dog. And this guy over here, well, it's like, well, he interprets tongues, so he's only useful, like, every once in a while. They don't work like that. And so let's take a look at verse 4 through 6, and we're going to find something actually particularly interesting inside of here. Cool. So, and we're going to pull some Greek out of this. I hope nobody minds. So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that's pneuma, it's the Holy Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That's kurios, the word for Lord, that's most commonly ascribed to Jesus himself in the New Testament. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, theos, which is applied to God the Father unilaterally throughout the Bible. So in here, we see there are three different categories of gifts, each one specifically ascribed to a different portion of the Trinity. It's not a random thing that Paul just put in there. So if we break them down to all three, the first one that we see, diversities of gifts. So that's charisma gifts. The word in Greek is actually charisma. So it's like, you know, you see that all throughout the New Testament. The best English translation we have of that would be like a gracious endowment. It's sort of like the best transliteration that we find of that word. And these are what he is about to talk about. Like, you guys have your motivation, and now here's how we use it. Like, here is the real supernatural meat and potatoes of, like, what's happening here in this, you know, realm of gifts. So it's the evidence of our motivation. That's that charisma that is like kind of flows out of us and like spurts as we do things. So the second one, administrations, that's a good one. That's diaconia. Hopefully you guys remember that one because we've talked about it a couple of times. So where we get the word deacon from like any denominational church or anything like that. We've talked about it a bunch of times because as we looked through Romans, we saw it a whole lot, specifically like in reference to like serving people. So these administrations, those are applied to Jesus. Like I said, that's that kurios, that's that capital L Lord that we see sort of unilaterally through the Bible. Like when we see it in the Old Testament, like it's like the theophany for anybody who's liking like theological words and stuff. It's like they don't know about Jesus, but they're using this word that's only applied to him to like apply to the one that they don't know because they don't have a different word to express the thing that they don't understand. Right? Kind of makes sense. Not really. That's fine. Theologians don't get it either. That's fine. So like I said, so these are the ones we've already talked about. So like, again, this is like the baseline, why we do what we do. Like that's our diaconia, is this administration. So we've talked about those already. Later on in the chapter, if you want to get into it, he actually talks more about this idea of like administration and diaconia farther along into the chapter. Again, because these people haven't read the book of Romans, so they don't know what he was talking about like we do, who can like, wow, he explained it better here, so we're going to teach out of this, and he explained it better here, so we're going to teach it out of this. And then the last one are operations. So like I said, that gets applied to the Father. So that's theos. Again, unilaterally, that is God the Father portion of the Trinity. That word is energema, or miraculous workings. Yeah, that's a good one. So like this energema, that's like the tippy top high level, like that's the mature, that's like the place of maturity right there. Are you laughing because I said tippy top? That's all I got. So, you know, you reach this area, and it's like, again, it's sort of no coincidence that most of the time when people think about the Godhead, even though they are like equally as powerful as each other because they are all the same, but they are all different, like God the Father is the one that takes preeminence. And we get that cue from Jesus because Jesus's life and ministry always put the Father in a place of preeminence. So we see Paul ascribe like the highest level of gift to the like highest elevated portion of the Trinity, which is God the Father. So like these are the ones that we've talked about before that are like the fivefold. So this is sort of like the place of maturity when you're grounded in your motivation, when you are like flowing in manifestation, then you like get plugged into that place of like mature office, and we see how you function like fully in the body. So like I said, we see these three levels. And the interesting part about it is like some of you guys may have seen the illustration. I probably should have put it up there. But there's this like old kind of like circle diagram. It's like a big circle, and then it's got some other ones inside of it. And it says like, and the original illustration's in Latin, but it's like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And it's like they're all God, and then like the circle in the middle says God, but then there's like arrows that go in between them, and it's like, but the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Spirit is not the Father, but they are all God. And it's sort of just a fun illustration of the Trinity. And the gifts work the same way. All of the gifts work together for the edifying of the body, for like the functioning of the church universal. But motivations are not manifestations. Manifestations are not ministries. Ministries are not motivations. But they all work together for like the purpose of, like I said, that edification. So he uses this sort of like Trinity idea to talk to them about like all of these parts are necessary in the same realm, and they exist together, slightly at tension, but not in exclusion of each other. So, and then starting in verse 7, we see what the gifts are. So everybody tracking with me so far? Good. So I'm going to cover the first two. The other important thing to know about the gifts, actually, before I move on to the next section, because I had a bullet point about it, so apparently I thought it was important. So these gifts are spontaneous, and that's sort of like the really awesome supernatural aspect of this, is that like you don't just like stay up real late and concentrate real hard to get a word of knowledge. Like the Spirit moves and you get a word of knowledge. Like you don't do the, it's, you know, it's not like The Exorcist where like you do this big ritual and you can cast out a demon. Like, I know. The Spirit manifests, and you work in power, and you do a miracle. Like, it's the same thing. Like, when we look through, because I've personally never seen someone get healed, but it's like, you know, you look through the New Testament, and it's just like, the apostles didn't just, like, go through some steps to heal people. Like, oh, my shadow went over you and you got healed? Cool. Like, I'm glad that that power worked out right there. And it's like, you want money? Well, I don't have any money, but you look like you need healing, so let's go. Come on. You get healed. Like, they're spontaneous. They're driven by the Spirit. So, like, they can't be manufactured because it's something that you can measure. If you can manufacture it, it's not the Spirit. So that's the other important thing to know about these kind of things. It's like not necessarily that it's more supernatural than the motivational gifts. It's just a different kind of supernatural because we're still in the Trinity. It's not the same, but they're all kind of the same. All right. Everybody with my blasphemy so far? That's good. Okay, so now we're going to move on to words of knowledge and words of wisdom. If you have questions about that afterwards, please let me know. So words of wisdom, that's our first one. So pulling out some Greek. You can go back to our regular background. I'm not going to go back to this. So words of wisdom, logos sophia, wise speech, as to be transliterated into English. The other fun thing about the manifestation gifts is that they all kind of look different depending on what motivation you have, and then they look a little bit different depending on what your personality type is on top of all that, too. If you guys remember from the last time I talked, there are 12.5 million combinations of gifts that you could possibly have, and that doesn't take into account that people have different personalities. Yeah, we masked that mess. Okay, so sorry, we're back to words of wisdom. So logos sophia. So this is any speech that carries divine understanding instead of like human intelligence or human philosophy. And that's like the baseline where this comes from. The other fun thing about this one, too, is like this is application-based. For any of you guys that play role-playing games, pretty much every role-playing game has like an intelligence stat and a wisdom stat. Intelligence is how much you know. Wisdom is how well you can apply it to a situation. Ken Jennings is very intelligent. He is not very wise, unless he is listening to the recording, in which case he is a wonderful individual, and we love him greatly. The guy from, end of it, Ken Jennings, the guy from Jeopardy that won like a million in a row? Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's several years old, but yeah. There you go. No, he's fairly wise. I mean, look at his bank account. He knows what he's doing. That's fair. All right, so wisdom takes knowledge and gives it an outlet. So, you know, and this is one of the reasons that we see the two of them together, because very rarely are they used separately. Because without knowledge, there's nothing to be, like, you have no input to be wise. And without wisdom, you have no outlet for your knowledge. Does that make sense? They're not always manifest in the same person, but they are generally manifest together, which is great. But yeah. Like I said, you can't have one without the other. You really can't have any of these without all of the other of them. But yeah, these two are a little bit more close-knit than some of the other ones, like I said. So just knowing something isn't enough, because if you don't know how to do it, then all you do is just store up information, you get prideful, and then that leads to a really sort of nasty fall. And also people tend to think you're a jerk if you're just sort of a know-it-all. So I'm going to give you guys a couple of quick examples of sort of what this looks like in some of the motivations. But again, sort of the interesting thing that I find about these manifestations is depending on what your motivation is, it's going to look different for you. And there's all kinds of stuff that we can like really get into with each of them, which we're going to talk about a little bit more like on the Wednesday Bible study if you guys can come. So let's say prophecy. So prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, that's like, that's their thing. Like, that's their go-to, usually. This one is very readily manifest by teachers and by prophets. Just because it's a very natural flowing in there. Not that it can't flow in the other ones and it doesn't, but it flows very easy in these ones. If you have the gift of prophecy, like, the Lord might give you a word that confirms something that someone, like, already has. They have the knowledge, you get the word, and you impart the wisdom for them to implement the knowledge that they have. Again, even if it's something as simple as a confirmation. Or if they're going through a situation, again, it's one of those, like, it's not just, hey, I know you're going through the situation. You're not just reading somebody's mail. You're giving them, like, a way to get through it. You know, you're giving them more than just this is what you're going through, but it's like, you know, this is what the Lord wants you to do. So it's very like a thus saith the Lord kind of application in prophecy. And it ties into exhortation very similarly. Alberto, you had a hand up, sorry. Right, so for those of you guys on the recording, Alberto said that, like, Joseph had the knowledge to interpret Pharaoh's dream and the wisdom to implement the plan of, like, what to do with it. And again, like I said, a lot of times these two things are manifest together, especially when you look at the Old Testament, because, like, those types of prophets were so rare, you needed to be able to manifest both of these together, because it's not like now where everybody has the Holy Spirit and I can, like, oh, well, it's like, I can manifest this, and the person next to me can do that, and it's just like, boom, I'll do step one, and, like, Rachel will take step two, and then, like, Dave comes in and does step three. It's like, well, I got the Spirit right now, so I got to do all the things real quick. Like, you know, it's the benefit of, you know, being New Testament church. Like, we all have the Spirit, so we can all do the stuff. It's not just on one person at a time. Yeah. All right, so for exhortation, it's very similar to prophecy. Like, again, as we look through the New Testament, we tend to see, like, teaching, exhortation, and prophecy grouped together in their motivations, in their manifestations. Like, again, they're very, very, very similar, but still markedly different. So exhortation is, like, the understanding of how to help a person, and this can come through just, like, having a conversation with them. But one of the things that, like, exhorters have in, like, the manifestation of a word of wisdom that prophets don't have a lot of times is, like, so prophets tend to, like, here's the word, here's how we do it, now let me move on. Exhorters will, like, all right, so here's the word, here's what we need to do, and I'm going to assist you in walking that out. Or even it's, like, the come behind what the prophet said, and it's, like, all right, like, so this is what they told you you needed to do. Like, here's their here's their word of wisdom. And then mine is, all right, now that you know what you need to do, here are, like, the steps that we're going to have to. So it's, like, an even more in-depth version. Like, you know, the prophet got, like, this big, wise picture. And then the exhorter comes in behind them. And then they have, like, the shrunk down version so they can see the bullet points on the list. Still wisdom, still a word of wisdom, just a different application of it because exhorters have a different motivation. They're looking through the kaleidoscope slightly turned. What? Fair. All right. So teachers, this one, I mean, it seems reasonably obvious, but so teachers generally, like, manifest words of wisdom through, like, the explanation of a scripture, not simply what it means, but how it applies. The difference between a word of wisdom and studying is the supernatural aspect of it. And again, it's sort of like that spontaneous. You look at a passage of scripture for the thousandth time, and the Lord is like, boom, and just opens it up. Like, it didn't come from your word study. It didn't come from, like, again, reading it a thousand times. It was you were reading, you were studying, and then all of a sudden the Lord, like, just opened it up. That's a word of knowledge, not, or a word of wisdom, not just like, well, I studied it for a while and understand it. That's intelligence, and that can be, you know, created by human beings. You cannot manufacture a word of wisdom. Fun fact. So let's see. Mercy people, a lot of times it's sort of like they have that, like, that right thing to say. You know, you're, like, consoling someone, and I could just be really horribly manufacturing the scenario because I'm not a mercy person. But it's like, you know, you're sitting with someone, like, you're counseling, you're listening to what's going on, and it's just like the Lord really gives you, like I said, that thing to say to them that really, you know, sort of calms their spirit down. It, you know, sort of really, like, imparts that, like, love aspect that they may be, like, missing in this particular instance, or the whatever comfort that the Father is trying to, like, impart to them. The mercy person gets that word of wisdom and knows what to say, when to say it, how to say it in the conversation to convey all that down from the Father. So that's that one. Giving and administration people tends to look similar because if you guys remember from giving and administration, giving people, like, they have a really great gift to, like, delegate resources and, like, and I just lost the word. It's my first day with English. I'm sorry, everybody. I don't know. I'll get back to it. Manage. There it is. Ha ha. So, yeah, but, like, givers manage resources. Like, administrators, rulers, whatever particular word your translation has, like, they manage people. And so, like, word of wisdom for them generally looks the same because they're doing the same thing just with a different thing. So, like, for them, it's here's the limited resources that we have, and the Lord's like, boom, this is how you solve the problem with that. Like, you got $1,000 in your church bank account, and, like, you need to, like, fix the roof. Here's how you do it with what you have. Gamble the money, whatever. Or, again, it's like, you know, you have a, huh? Oh, sorry, I missed it. But again, so it's like, you know, the Lord sort of gives you those pieces of, like, this is what you have, here's how you apply it. So again, all of them are words of wisdom because it's how do you take the information and apply it to something. They just manifest themselves differently because each of the motivations is dealing with different information. And again, all the gifts work like that. So it's easy for me to just kind of break them down like that. So is everybody feeling okay about words of wisdom? Good? Okay. I mean, like, for me, I mean, not that necessarily I'm a teacher, but, like, I have a myriad of times where, huh? I'm literally a teacher, but. But I mean, like for me, like as like a server kind of motivation, like for me, you know, when I, the words of wisdom is definitely not like a thing that I excel at, but, you know, I do see it happen a lot, like those supernatural, like opening up of scripture. Okay, Alberto, tell me a way that it works out for me. Oh, that's fair. You'd think as much as I've studied it, I would have put that all together. I'm just terrible at it. That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Solomon was wise enough to ask for wisdom. That is intelligent. It's knowledge and wisdom all together. Wizlidge? Notum? One of the two. I don't know. He just rolled good stats, that's all. All right. Okay, so then our second one, we have words of knowledge. Very similar. So this one's logognosis, which means informational speech. In contrast to a wisdom where it's like it's understanding, this is, it's simply knowledge. It's information, which is good. Like, you need that. Again, without the information, you have nothing to apply. So, you know, sometimes this is, actually not sometimes, in most cases, this is the predecessor to a word of wisdom. Again, because it's like if you don't have the knowledge to apply, there is nothing to apply. So normally words of wisdom precede a word of knowledge, whether it's immediately or whether, you know, it's like you got a word of knowledge years ago. And again, it's like, so someone comes up to you and like gives you like a confirmation in the prophetic about that. Like however it happens to work itself out, you have to have the information first before you can apply it. So like I said, these generally precede the other one. People that manifest this regularly are generally seen as intelligent people. Because there is, again, the supernatural aspect of this is, like, there is human intelligence where you just store lots of information in your head. And then there is, like, a word of knowledge where the Lord is like, here's a piece of information you couldn't possibly know on your own. You know? And that, and it's like, again, that's the most readily observable, like, manifestation of this. I already mentioned Ken Jennings. But, yeah, it's like people that have words of knowledge, like, manifest words of knowledge. Like I said, they're very smart. They do well in Jeopardy. But, you know, again, one of the important things about this one is, like, you know, to have this without wisdom, and it's very, you know, again, they all work together, but to do this without wisdom is, it's very, very disastrous, because to have the information and not know what to do with it, like, that just never works out. So let's, again, so, like, if you're functioning in the prophetic, if that's your motivation, usually this is going to manifest itself as, like, you reading their mail. And a lot of times in the prophetic circles, it's used almost as like a credential. Because people are skeptical of the supernatural. Even people that function in the supernatural are skeptical of the supernatural when they're not the ones doing it. It's a normal human thing. So it's like, yeah, somebody's going to come up to you and they're going to tell you that they're a prophet, and I don't care how many conferences you've been to, I don't care how prophetic you think you are, you are going to be skeptical of them first off the bat. It's just going to happen. And then, yeah, what happens? It's like the Lord, like, just breaks that situation open with a word of knowledge. And it's just sort of like, all right, well, if you're just not going to believe them, hear. And yes, like I said, so they, you know, they get that thing that you need to hear, or they get that piece of information about your life or your situation, your circumstance, whatever it is, and it's just like, wow, there was no way that they could have known that. The Lord is here. And then it's like, and then you're in. So we see that again sort of manifested as prophecy. So teachers, sort of again, similar to the word of wisdom where, like, the Lord explains how a passage works. This one is more like doctrine, you know, I put doctrine in my notes in, like, quotation marks. But this is, you know, you when you think about, or at least when I think about, like, all those, like, OG Christian guys that, like, really had their theology in order. Like, some of the guys that we look to for, like, solid doctrine, they were still, like, looking to for solid doctrine, like, hundreds and thousands of years later. Like, I mean, Jesus. But, I mean, other guys, too. Like, people read St. Augustine and, like, you know, people read, like, Chrysostom and, like, people, you know, it's like, just pick your favorite, like, old school Christian scholar. Word of knowledge, like, that's a big manifestation, because they don't always, and this is the great thing about, like, doctrine and theology, which is what makes the Holy Spirit, like, so super awesome. Like, doctrine and theology are cool, but if you don't know what to do with it, you're still screwed. So we have the wisdom side of it, because you've got that head knowledge that comes from reading your Bible as much as you want. Like, read all of the catechisms, read all of the confessions, like, read every denomination statement of faith, do it all, learn all the theology, and you still won't know how to apply it if you don't have the Spirit. So you see, like, as teachers, they have that extraordinary supernatural ability to pull truth out and make truth understandable. But that doesn't mean that it's applicable. And that's why we need the word of wisdom along with it. So you see, for teachers, that's one of, like, their supernatural manifestations. We're going to take a difficult piece of truth out of Scripture, and I'm going to turn it into something that a five-year-old can understand. It's one of my favorite things that Albert Einstein ever said. He's like, if you can't explain it simply, you don't know enough about it. And that's, like, the essence of what a word of knowledge is. The Lord gives you the ability, again, as a teacher manifested, to take the hard topic and put it into something that everyone can understand. Just boom, right away. Again, they might not be able to apply it, but they understand it. Then we can talk about words of wisdom after that. But get the information, then we'll figure out how to use it. So giving and, like, ruling, again, I kind of lump these two together because as a manifestation, they tend to work similarly. Have you ever met somebody that just, like, knows what you can do and you don't know what you can do? They probably have the motivation of, like, a ruler. And they're manifesting it as a word of knowledge. Or it's just like, you know, like, as someone who's gifted in the area of giving, like, you know what people can do more than they do. Like, they're like drill instructors. Like, they know how far they can push you. They know, like, how much you can get baited, how much they can goad you to, like, get every scrap of energy and work out of you that they can without killing you. Like, that is a giver and a ruler manifesting a word of knowledge. Like, they know what they can get out of you. Then they have to have the wisdom to be able to do that, but they know what you have to give, and sometimes you don't even know that. So that's, like I said, giver, administrator, like, manifestation of that. And then the last one I had on here was, like, ministry. On mine. So if you're gifted in ministry or service, depending on your translation, you know, like, the needs to serve. So this is, like, Alberto, I didn't want to, like, correct you when you said it earlier, but when you mentioned that, like, when there's problems that need to be solved, people, like, that are gifted in my particular area, we see the problems where other people don't necessarily see them. It's like, and not necessarily that it's, like, a problem in a bad sense, but it's like, we see that there are things that need to be resolved. Yeah, there's a gap to be filled. Like, how, well, you know, we need to, like, oh, we got 50 people coming today. Like, well, that needs to get catered. We have to make sure that, like, the bathrooms are stocked. All of the sort of, like, mundane, that was air quotes, things. We see all of the little things that need to happen to make it happen as the word of knowledge. And then how we solve the problem is the word of wisdom. So, again, they work together in that. So, no, it does. It, and again, like I said, a lot of people tend to, if you're not prophetic, an exhorter, or a teacher, write these off. And it's just, it's like, we don't make room for them, like, or, you know, I don't want to necessarily say exalt in some sort of, like, big crazy way, but it's like, they don't sort of exalt these things as stuff that they could possibly do, when it's like, no, like, everybody has access to all of the manifestations. It's just like, what do you do? Do you know that you're doing it? It's, and that's the other thing too. It's like, you know, name it. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. If you know that you're doing it, cool. Like, know that you're doing it so that you understand what's happening. And you can do it better later. It's a great thing. Name it and claim it. Name it and claim it. Good old 17. All right. So I think the last thing that I had on here, because I wrote in closing, so that's how I know it's the last thing. Because I write my notes like I would an essay. In closing, I want to remind you that the prevailing similarity between not only these two gifts, but all the manifestation gifts, that they are actively supernatural in nature. It's actually what I have written down in my paper because I'm a nerd. But again, so like I said, just remember, like, they get actively supernatural in nature. Motivations are hard to see. We already, you know, we kind of cover that again. It's difficult to figure out why people do what they do, but the acts are very easily observable. And again, the purpose, you know, Paul says it, it's for the benefit of all. Not just all in the body, but all. So we manifest these things as evidence of the supernatural motivation that we have. It edifies believers. It brings non-believers, like, to the knowledge of Christ. But again, like, these overtly supernatural things that we do, very much like Jesus. I mean, just read the red text. Everything he did pointed back at the Father. And again, like, that's the purpose of all of these supernatural things. It's like, manifest your motivations. Like, exercise these gifts so that people can look at the Father. Like, that's where it all kind of rolls around into. Like, the body will be edified if you look at the Father. Because if you're doing that, that means that the gifts are being exercised. So, does that make sense? Sounds really good? Awesome. Questions? Comments? Concerns? Blasphemy that needs to be addressed? 5 stars? Thank you. Just make sure. Huh? Sure. Well, yeah, because if not, there's going to be like a 15-minute like blank space on the recording.
Hopefully we'll talk 15 minutes. Okay, so most of you guys know that I've been going to a class in Orlando, which is why I wasn't here last week, because we had a event that we were doing. And similar to the Halloween event, we were sitting at tables, and we got to prophesy over people, which was kind of awesome, especially because they're all in, like, the Christmas spirit, so they're like, sure, you know. So they came up to us, and there's this, this older, what looked like a couple, and they weren't a couple, and so the lady at the beginning said, this is not my husband, and she like, and he's like, shh, it's not going to be real if you tell them information, and she thinks that she, like, messed up, like, our prophecy for her, and so it was just really funny. They were cute, and so we always start with one person, and then we go to the next person. Well, we are encouraged to step out in faith and risk being wrong. And so because of the last story that I shared where I had that word of knowledge for that girl, I don't know if you heard. Oh, I shared it with you, yeah. Oh, did you? Okay. And so because I had that accurate word of knowledge for that girl that was like, oh, wow, like, okay, Jesus does use me this way. All right. I stepped out a little bit, and I said to the lady, I was like, I feel like you're a caregiver, and I don't know if that's your job or if that's, like, what you do. And she goes, yeah. She's like, I take care of my uncle. And I was like, okay, cool. And, like, I didn't really have a word of wisdom to go along with that. I just kind of felt, you know, that the Lord was pleased with her, that he sees her, just that kind of thing. And it kind of opened her up to hear what everyone else had to say. So then so other people said a bunch of stuff to her and encouraged her. And then we got to the guy, and I looked at him, and I was like, I don't know, but I feel like. And so I just was like, just do it. So for him, he said, I feel like you're really skilled with your hands. I think it's in woodworking. And I was like, okay, I don't know. This is going to either go really well or really, like, south. And he was like, he kind of looked at me, and the lady goes, she's, like, nodding her head. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I was like, do you do woodworking? And he's like, I mean, no. And I was like, what? I'm really confused. She's saying yes. He's saying no. He's like, I mean, I'm a mechanic, but, like, I helped build her house. And I was like, well, okay then. Yeah, totally unskilled with woodworking, you know. Because I was like, is it with the chain? Like, what kind of woodworking do you do? And so he's, and they were talking about it, adding information about him building her house and all this. He's like, she's like, yeah, just yesterday he was at my house building it. And da 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 da. I was like, okay. And I didn't have the word of wisdom that went along with his. I just had the word of knowledge of what he did. But because of that, because they were a little skeptical, they were like, at least the guy was. He's just like, I don't know about this, just kind of like looking at us. And so the other people at my table said, I feel like what you're supposed to do with that is that, actually she had a word of knowledge and then a word of wisdom that kind of added onto it. And she said, I feel like you have, or you're going to have this ability to talk to like 20-somethings, like a male, and you're going to be able to mentor him in like mechanics, like what you're doing. And he goes, yeah, I have a guy who's 20 that I'm like mentoring right now. And she's like, okay, well, that's awesome. And I feel like the Lord's going to continue to use you in that. And that's like one of the things that you're gifted in, is to take the skill that you have that a lot of people might not know, like a master mechanic type thing, and pass it down to future generations. And so she started speaking like to like the future of what he was going to be doing. So it was really cool. It made me think of the combination of the two, of word of knowledge and then word of wisdom going tandem.
Jason had a hand. What's up?
I just wanted to add that we do not endorse name and claim it theology in this church.
Oh, thanks. Just in case you couldn't hear from the back of the room, Jason just wants to make sure that everybody knows that I'm not serious about name it and claim it. Because I'm not. That's fine. The Leaning Tower of Pisa leads towards the ground, so. Push the stop button, Jason, before it gets worse.